Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to talk about self-centeredness, self-love, and how damaging it is to our personal relationship with the Lord. It's actually the thing that I think occasions all kinds of problems in our life. Yesterday I gave kind of an introduction to this, and we taught from John chapter 14, verse 28. If you missed any of this, I encourage you to please write in and get the individual tape that we're offering this week. It's our gift to you. But I can promise you that I just can't say everything I need to say about this in one little 30-minute program. You need this entire week's worth of broadcast in its entirety to be able to get this. But this has totally changed my life. And I believe that this is one of the biggest problems facing the body of Christ today, is the fact that we haven't been taught about how to deny ourselves, to dethrone ourselves, and to let Jesus take the throne of our life. I gave my personal testimony yesterday briefly and shared that this is the thing that really started me seeking God. I had become a religious Pharisee to where I thought that I was doing things so well that surely God was going to move in my life. And you know, that is the only thing that will really stop God from moving in your life, is when you get to trusting in yourself and saying, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men. I thank you I'm not like this publican over here. And you start listing all of your good works. I tell you, that will stop God's power in your life quicker than sin. Sin is nothing compared to self-righteousness. Or another way of saying that is that the greatest sin of all is the sin of self-righteousness. And so in my own personal life, when God nailed me over this and I finally realized I wasn't the center of the universe, and that God was bigger than me, and I needed to run up a white flag and surrender and quit serving myself and go to serving God. When I made that decision, it's what turned my life around. And of course, there's a lot of other things that are involved in it, but I'm saying that that's like a foundation that everything else is built upon. And if you don't have this as a foundation, then I can promise you that whatever good comes your way, you will eventually destroy it through your own self-centeredness. The Bible says, I believe it's Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I tell you, pride is just an inroad of Satan into your life. It's like his beachhead. It's where he lands. It's his landing zone. It's the only inroad that he has into your life. This is how Satan actually fell into sin himself. And I won't take time to turn over there, but in Ezekiel chapter 28, in Isaiah chapter 14, it gives us insight into what was going on in Satan before he fell. And it says that he said, I will exalt my seat above the throne of God. I will sit on the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High God. And as you study this out, what it actually was, Satan didn't dislike God in the sense that he says, I hate being good. I hate righteousness. I hate everything that God stands for. That's not what Satan's sin was. Satan's sin was that he loved it so much, he wanted it for himself. He tried to usurp God's place. Satan tried to become God. He literally tried to take over God's kingdom. It was self-centeredness, self-exaltation that was the inroad of Satan. And how did he get Adam and Eve to sin? In the third chapter of the book of Genesis, you can see that Satan came to Adam and Eve specifically, and says, God has held you back from eating of this tree. And he didn't say that it was because God loved you and didn't want you corrupted by having this knowledge of good and evil. Instead, what he said is, you know what? God doesn't really love you, and he's trying to keep something good from you. Basically, he moved Eve into an area of self-centeredness to say, you're missing something. And that was a very slick deception, because if you'd stop and think about it, Adam and Eve were actually missing nothing. They lived in a perfect world. They lived in paradise. There was no problems. There was no strife. There was no such thing as marital problems. Adam and Eve had the perfect marriage. The climate was perfect. The food was perfect. There was zero pollution. There was zero danger. Everything was wonderful. Plus, God came and talked with them every single day in the cool of the evening. They were living in perfection And yet Satan convinced two perfect people living in a perfect environment that they didn't have enough. You know, selfishness, once you start thinking about yourself and have I got everything, has everything come my way that is supposed to come my way? Once you get into that mindset, you can't satisfy that. Selfishness is like a drug addiction. That it doesn't matter what you give to yourself to make you feel better, it will wear off and you'll have to go get another fix and it'll have to be more. The things that used to satisfy you won't satisfy you now. There's some of you watching this program that at one time you thought, man, if I could just get me a good paying job with a career and things like that, I'd be satisfied. There's some of you that thought if you just had a nice house, if you just had a nice car, if you had better clothes, if you had a retirement so that you didn't have to worry about that, you'd be satisfied. There's some of you that thought if I could just get this person over here to be my mate, I'll be satisfied. If I just had kids and a dog, I'd be satisfied. You got all of these things and you're still dissatisfied. You cannot satisfy self. Self cannot be satisfied. The only way to deal with it is to deny yourself and get to where you find your contentment and your satisfaction in blessing other people. If you are living for yourself, if you are seeking first and foremost to exalt yourself, and I'm not saying that you never have a decent thought about trying to bless somebody else, but I'm saying if the focus of your life is to advance yourself, you're going to be a miserable person. And many of you may not agree with that, but that is exactly what I believe has happened in our American, and of course, people are watching this program all across Europe, and it's the same thing in European countries. Any of the Western civilization where we have had prosperity unparalleled compared to most people that have ever walked on the face of this earth, we have more things to satisfy ourselves, to minister to us, to help us, and yet there is a greater dissatisfaction than I think that there's ever been. And I believe the reason for it is because in the past, people lived and gave themselves for causes that were bigger than themselves. They lived for something beyond themselves. But we have become a society that encourages individualism, that encourages you making everybody else bow to you. In the United States, we have minority groups such as physically handicapped people. And you know what? Our society has catered to them. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we should make it hard on them or not respect them. But I'm saying that we have totally changed the mindset so that a very few people can literally dictate what the whole does. That is not the way it's supposed to be. But see, we've put that much importance on individualism to where, man, this person, if they're being mistreated, let's pass a law that is going to hinder everybody else, cause everybody else problems, put businesses out of business because they can't meet the requirements. Let's do whatever it takes. Who cares what happens to the millions this one person has suffered? We've exalted things like that, and that is totally wrong. In past years, people used to have a conscience that, you know what, I am important, but I am not the center of the universe. And there are some things more important than me, and because of it, they dealt with some things that today people are unprepared to deal with just because selfishness, self-centeredness has become such a strong force. This is not the way God intended it to be. And I'm telling you that if you want to experience God's best in your life, the thing that you are going to have to do is move away from trying to just satisfy yourself and make yourself the center of the universe. You're going to have to move away from that to, number one, putting God first and then putting other people ahead of yourself. And if you will do that, you'll find out that it's just like Jesus said, when you lose your life, that's when you find life. That's what you find life is all about. As long as you are seeking to serve yourself and your whole life revolves around you and yours, then you are never going to be a happy, contented, fulfilled person. And I know that the things I'm saying right here are just shocking some of you. This may be the very first time that some of you have ever heard these kind of words spoken, because this isn't said very often. Matter of fact, this would be made fun of, and there's probably a lot of people ridiculing and rejecting this even as I speak because it's just outside of the norm. But this is what the Word of God teaches. This is the message that Jesus came preaching. that if any man is going to follow me, he has to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How clear can you make it? Jesus said, deny yourself and follow me. If you're going to be my disciple, you've got to deny yourself. I want to pose this question to you. Have you really denied yourself? Are you really putting God and other people ahead of yourself? And many of you may be able to say yes, but let's do it this way. Just if you've prayed today, if you've spent any time seeking the Lord, how much time have you spent praying for other people and for other things? And how much time have you spent praying for yourself? How much of your attention is all focused on yourself? This may shock you, but you know what? You can reach a place to where you are not the most important person around. The scripture says over in the book of Philippians, it says that we're to esteem others better than ourselves. How many of you really esteem other people as better than yourself? Now, there's some of you that may do that in the sense that you have a low self-worth and that you feel like you're such a failure. You think everybody's better than yourself. That's not the type of esteeming. I'm just talking about where you love other people. You put people ahead of yourself. You would rather see them succeed rather than to see yourself succeed. If you're in competition with somebody in your business, how many of you would pray that your competitor would win? How many of you would want to bless them and say, you know what, I'd rather bless you than to bless myself? That's what the scripture is talking about when it says esteem other people better than yourself. It's not saying that you hate yourself. It just means that you love other people more than you love yourself. This is not only something that's obtainable. This is the norm for the Christian life. And this is what we're dealing with this week. And I think it's really going to help you. Now, I've got some materials on this. Our announcer is going to show you how you can get it. And we're going to take a brief break. And then I'll be right back to continue to talk about self-centeredness.
Andrew's teaching titled Self-Centeredness, The Root of All Grief is available free of charge in booklet form while supplies last. Request teaching T315 when you write or call. Our address is Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or call 719-635-1111 between 4 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or go to our website, click on Free Audio Teachings Online, and search for the title, Self-Centeredness, The Source of Grief. This message is made available to you at no charge. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you write or call. Be sure to specify the CD or DVD when you contact us. We hope to hear from you today. And now, Gospel Truth continues.
So we've been discussing self-centeredness and how damaging it is to our personal relationship with God. I'm not teaching self-hatred. I am just teaching that you love God and other people more than you love yourself. And that is just totally outside of the realm of most people's thinking. Most people believe that you are supposed to make yourself the absolute priority, that you take care of yourself, and only when self has zero needs, zero problems, do you give any attention to somebody else. But you know, that is not the way that it is. As a matter of fact, I've discovered this, and I'm sure that many of you watching or listening could verify this same thing, that when you are in a bad situation, when you're in a crisis situation, when you're struggling financially, socially, physically in your body or whatever, if you will go find somebody else who's in need and begin to start pouring yourself out and meeting their need, did you know it'll do more to help you than all of your attention and focus on yourself? If you would find that, like if you're sick, go find somebody who's sicker. You know, we say things like this before, that I used to complain about how my feet hurt in these shoes until I met a man who had no feet. His legs had been amputated, and all of a sudden you were thankful that your feet even hurt. Man, you find people who you think you're bad. All of a sudden you find somebody else who's worse off, and all of a sudden it makes you realize that, you know what, I am really blessed. The point is, it's exactly what Jesus said. It's in losing your life that you find it. It's in giving to other people that you really find out what life is all about. And our culture today is not conducive to this. We are absolutely self-centered, self-promoting. It's gone to the place of idolatry. Matter of fact, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says this. Let me just turn over here and read this to you, because this is an amazing passage of Scripture. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." You know, most people today, especially in the Western world, if you sat there and say, "Are you an idol worshiper? Do you have idols?" Most people would say, "No, not me," because they don't have a Buddha. They don't have, you know, one of these statues or something that they fall down to. But you know what? The Scripture here says covetousness is idolatry. What is covetousness? Covetousness is just wanting everything that you see that other people have. You want it for yourself. It's actually selfishness. It's just like a vacuum cleaner. You are sucking everything towards yourself. How many of you have ever been in a church service or something where somebody stands up and, say, for instance, testifies about, "Man, I was in need of a car. I had this problem. I asked God to help me, and God gave me a brand new car." Or, you know what, "God gave us a house," or "God performed this miracle." How many of you have ever heard somebody stand up in a church service and testify about what God did for them, and instead of you rejoicing that they had their needs met and that God did something for them? Now, be honest. How many of you sat there and says, "Why hadn't God done that for me? Man, I need a car. I need a house. I need this. God, why haven't you done something for me?" You know, if I could be seeing you eyeball to eyeball, I bet you that most of you would be shaking your head and saying, "Well, yeah, I've done that." Do you know what that is? That's covetousness. You can't rejoice with those that rejoice. You interpret everything in the perspective of, "What about me? How come they got theirs and I haven't gotten mine?" You know what that is? That's selfishness. That's self-centeredness. It's covetousness is what the Bible says here. And that is idolatry. Putting yourself and your own welfare and your own needs ahead of God's needs and the kingdom of God and the blessing and benefit of other people. You know what that is? According to this Scripture, it's idolatry. And I'm not saying this for the purpose of trying to condemn any of you and make you feel, "Oh man, now here's another sin I've got to put on my list. Now I'm an idolater because I'm covetous." I'm not trying to get you condemned. I'm just trying to shake us, because see, our culture is telling us that's absolutely right. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I was born in 1949, I grew up, I was a teenager in the 60s during the me generation is what they called it. It was called the me generation. If it feels good, do it. And I mean selfishness, self-centeredness, casting off of restraints. And who cares about my responsibility to family, to society, to anything else? It's me. And this phrase came up, "I'm trying to find myself." Boy, I hate that phrase. I hate that with a passion. That is such a, I know that I'm probably going to offend somebody. I don't mean to, but I mean, how stupid can you get and still breathe when people say things like, "I'm trying to find myself"? The only reason that's a problem is if you are trying to identify yourself as an individual separate from the rest of the world, separate from everything else, and you are trying to establish an individual identity. You know, today we have things where, you know, traditionally in the United States, 20 years ago, probably maybe 50 years ago for sure, but even as close as 20 years ago, it was not uncommon to see a person who had a business train up their children, and their children would take over that business, especially in farming. You know, if a man was a farmer, he would build this empire, he'd get all this land, he'd do all of these things, work his whole life, and his children would help him, and then the children would come and take over the family business, which was the farm. The same thing happened in factories and all kinds of different things. And it was considered an honor. You used to see things like, you know, Womack and Sons up there, or whatever your name is, and it was an honor. And it was traditional. Not everybody did it, but it happened a lot. But you know what? During the 60s, during the me generation, during this thing of, "I'm an individual and nobody's going to tell me what to do and I've got to go find myself." You know, now it would be a rarity. It would be something that would be unusual to find somebody who would feel fulfilled and feel happy to take over a family business. Now, again, I'm acknowledging that that's not the way it has to be. There's exceptions, but I'm saying that a generation ago, it was considered an honor. And you know why? Because there wasn't this individuality concept. It wasn't as self-centered, as selfish as what we see. People considered themselves to be a part of a family, of a community. They recognized that, man, their parents had struggled to get this done, and they considered it an honor to step into those shoes and to take up where their parents left off. But today, it's like, man, kids just immediately want to cut the cord. They want to do everything they can to get away from being identified with their parents. I think that attitude stinks. I really do. You know, a very good friend of mine in England was talking to me one time, and his dad was a very famous preacher. And because of it, he was always introduced every time he went somewhere, even up until the time he was in his 20s. He was never introduced by his name. He was always says, "This is so-and-so's son." They referred to the preacher, and then they said, "This is his son." And I was talking to him one time, and he was telling me about how that even though he was born again at a young age, he went away from the Lord and got into some terrible sin and rebellion and things and came back. And I was asking him why. And he says, "Well, it's because I didn't find myself. I didn't have my own personal identity. I was always so-and-so's son. I was never a person." And he said, "I just hated that. So I went the other way and established my own identity by being a renegade, rebellious, drugger, all these kind of things." And he was saying, "You know how it is. I just couldn't be introduced the rest of my life as this person's son." And he was just taking it for granted that this was a very good attitude that he had. And I told him, I said, "You know what? My dad died when I was 12 years old, and I never had the privilege of being introduced as Winford Womack's son. I would have been thrilled to have people introduce me that way. I'm not saying I would have gone in the same direction. He was an insurance salesman. I'm a preacher. There's different. I'm not saying I'd have done that. But you know what? I'm saying that I would not have been bothered to be identified with that." And I think that this emphasis on you've got to be your own individual, don't let anybody overshadow you and all of these things is wrong. It's wrong. It is not the way God made us to be. Now, I'm not saying that we should not have an individual identity. I'm just saying it shouldn't be the determining factor. Really, it doesn't matter so much what you do, what your vocation are. Your character issues are the important things. And so anyway, this is what we're dealing with, and I'm trying to get this point across that we have glorified self to the point. It's just like Colossians 3:5 says, we have become so covetous. We are constantly trying to do things for us, even if we have to stab somebody in the back, if we have to step over somebody on our way up the ladder of success. We will do whatever we've got to do because, after all, myself and promoting myself is the most important thing in the world. That attitude is what the Bible calls covetousness, and it equals idolatry. In a very real sense, many of us are struggling and having problems in our life because if you could picture a throne on the inside of you, many of you are sitting on the throne of your life. You evaluate everything by what you desire and not by what God desires. You need to remember, I used this on our program yesterday, but there's only one God and you are not Him. You aren't God and you need to get off the throne and you need to quit trying to get God to serve you and to help you fulfill all of your desires, and you need to run up a white flag and say, "God, I realize that I didn't evolve. I didn't create myself. You created me. You are my designer. You have ownership. You have authority over my life. I turn my life over to you. What is your purpose for me? What do you want me to do?" Put Jesus on the throne of your life. Get off the throne and make Him God. Quit being an idolater. And I tell you, if you could understand this, it would change your life. Now, all I've done the first 2 days is kind of make my point about how bad this is, and I haven't given you the remedy. Some of you may be saying, "All right, already, how do I get out of being self-centered?" Well, you're going to have to stay tuned. I'm out of time today, but tomorrow on our Gospel Truth broadcast, we're going to talk specifically about that, and I believe it'll help you. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information about this tape we're offering, and then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Today, Andrew would like to offer you his booklet titled Self-Centeredness, The Root of All Grief, absolutely free. Call or write and request booklet T315, and we'll be pleased to send it to you while supplies last. Our address is Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or call 719-635-1111 between 4 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can go to our website and click on Free Audio Teachings Online and search for the title, Self-Centeredness, The Source of Grief. This MP3 download is made available on our website at no charge, where there is a wealth of free ministry material. As Andrew mentioned on today's program, you can also get the teaching on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Simply request teaching TSK7 when you write or call. Be sure to specify the CD or DVD when you contact us. You may ask, how can we afford to give this teaching away? In fact, our ministry partners make it possible. They have a heart to see more lives changed by the power of the true gospel. Partners make it possible for us to broadcast the gospel truth every day on TV and radio. They underwrite the website, the publication of books, audio and video teachings, and the free distribution of these materials to millions of people in need. They also sponsor the training of future ministers and teachers through Charis Bible College, plus the outreach of Andrew Womack Ministries to third world missions and benevolent projects. If you've been blessed by this program, we'd like to ask you to consider becoming a Grace Partner at a minimum of $30 per month or $360 per year. You can get partnership information on our website at awmi.net. Or if you prefer, you can write or call. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Yeah.
Join us next week as we present this special report on Andrew's second trip to Uganda.
This is Uganda. This is Uganda.